Good evening, good morning, good night, good second breakfast, whenever you are, wherever you are. My name is Laura Gonzalez, and I'd like to welcome you to Lunatic Mondays on CSMP, the Circle Sanctuary Network podcast. And tonight I have an author that I'm very, very happy to have on the show tonight. Her name is Laura Davila. She is a fifth generation Mexican witch, a longtime practitioner of Mexican and Salmeria, hechicería, brujería, and folk Catholicism. Born and raised in Mexico, Laura has lived in the U.S. since 2010. Laura identifies as bruja de rancho, a ranch witch, a term with great resonance in Mexico, indicating knowledge of botanicals and the natural world. She learned her practice at her grandmother's knees. Laura is also a tarot card reader and a flower essence practitioner. You can follow her on Instagram at Daphne underscore la la underscore hechicera, hechicera. And she's my paisana. She's from Mexico, and I am like so honored and so happy and so proud to have you on the show. Welcome. How are you today, Laura?
How are you, Laura? Mi tocaya. How are you today, too?
I'm okay. How are you? How you been doing? Traveling. You are on my neck of the woods. We're not going to tell people when we recorded this, but you're here, like a throw stone away from me, seeing some of your children getting off school and all of that. But
yeah,
tell us how you've been.
Really, really good. It's very, very, very cold here, but we can get used to. You know, we have this culture where we adapt to everything that the life throw at us. So, you know, so that's what I'm trying to do right now, like just get used to this cold and the snow. And I'm starting to kind of like enjoying it because there is not something that I have often. So I have doing, I, you know, I have to make it enjoyable for my, for my visit.
So you reside in Texas, yeah?
Yes. I reside in Alvarado, Texas, very close to Fort Worth and Dallas. And I have like, I don't know, like almost 12 years in the United States. I have lived in Texas. I have lived in California, Nevada, Michigan. So I have been like in a lot of places and visit others. And I was born in Mexico. I was raised over there. And when I was 26, we immigrated here to the United States. So it's pretty much like 12 years.
Yeah. I came to the United States at the same age. I was 25 when I came here. I guess that's the age. So when I came to the United States, and I knew I was already a folk magic practitioner, and I got involved in the pagan community and the witchcraft community and the Wiccan community. And this, I've never told you this, Laura. Somebody, I call somebody bruja, an Anglo person, I call them bruja. And this person got really upset and they got really offended. And they were like, don't call me bruja. I'm not a bruja. I'm a witch. And I'm like, it's the same word, but in English, you know. But it has a different connotation. And what I love about you and other brujas that I see, like myself doing out there, is breaking the mold. And not all brujas are pagan or Wiccan or practice that kind of witchcraft.
Yeah, for somebody like you and me, fortunately or unfortunately, the word bruja, when you had lived all your life there and you have to adapt your own language to another one, have the same, not the same connotation, but it's the same meaning. Somebody who is doing witchcraft, somebody who wants to change something with magic. You know, it doesn't matter if it's like what tradition, you know, is that person or what path specifically that person is following. But here, I have seen the same thing. And I don't like to call my Some people call them students, the patrons. I like to call them colaboradores, my associates, my collaborators, because I think they teach me more than I teach them from how people see things here that I didn't have that perspective when I was growing up. I remember one time I was teaching somebody a prayer. I was chatting with this girl, a prayer in Spanish that it had a lot of like rhymes and some words that they were like used in slang, like for example, lana is the slang for money in Mexico.
Yeah.
And she was like, it doesn't make sense. And I'm like, I understand that doesn't make sense because a lot of our magic relies a lot on language. And she's like, but that's the colonizer language. Our ancestors, native ancestors, didn't like speak Spanish and it shouldn't be like that and blah, blah. And I was like, I understand that. And I do agree until a certain degree with what you're saying because it's real. But we have almost 600 years speaking this language in Mexico.
Yep.
You cannot lose into the consideration. In the days past, she got out of my Patreon. I think that comment really upset her. And days after because I continued following her Instagram, she was getting in a fight with a girl who was white, a white girl calling herself a bruja. And I'm like, why do you care if this is the language of the colonizer and
Yep.
you're making a big deal? So does our practice really relies a lot on the Spanish language or it doesn't? But you cannot have both ways when it's convenient for you not to give a traditional sense. I'm talking traditional like 600 years ago when we started, like adopting these conjuros from the colonial witches.
Yeah.
And then said, I don't want it. I don't like it. I don't agree with it. And then when somebody else is embracing it with that love and calling herself a bruja, you're calling her names, you're calling her appropriator. When our ancestors were very welcoming people, we still have that tradition where mi casa es su casa, my house is your house, let me fix you a plate, you know? I don't know where, in what point we're losing that thing, you know?
Yeah.
I understand that it's a lot of people taking advantage of that thing, in of our culture, but we should be like more accepting and more embracing and more welcoming to other people,
Absolutely.
because at the end of the days, as Latinos, as Latinas, Latinx, however you want to call yourself, because that's another like thing that I've been seeing with like, oh, but why you're not using the X? Because we don't do that in Mexico. We're starting implementing the E.
Yeah.
And that's okay if you want to identify yourself. And if you, I totally believe on the gender is a social construct. And if you want me to address you, I will. I have the obligation to address you in a certain way. But you cannot ask for me like, identify like you do. You know what I'm saying? Because I have seen that issue too. Every time I call myself mestiza, like I'm a mixed person. We don't have that negative connotation in Mexico about mestizos. Now it's not the word developed a lot that is n that has nothing to do with a casta system. It's a cultural ownership where we're so mixed that we cannot identify completely as indigenous like they do here for the 1% or like European because we haven't lived that social reality. A lot of us, we don't even like visit Europe one time in our life. How can we pick one side over the other? So I think as a culture, a lot of us identify that way, but a lot of people here in the United States doesn't understand like the world over there developed a lot, over
Yeah.
the years, but they still like they're stuck in the what word that word meant 600 years ago.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's one of the things that I have struggled the most, that certain words, certain translations, certain connotations are not the same in one place or another.
Yeah.
And some people get like mad because of that, but believe me, I don't do it with the, like, like in a mean way for me, just like you, like, oh, you call yourself a bruja because you're trying to speak in my own language, not because, you know, they're saying you're a Mexican bruja or a Cuban bruja, you know? So yeah, I totally agree with you that language barriers and cultural barriers play a huge role on these witch wars that we're having, you know, and for nonsense, instead of being more united as humans, as Latinos, as Mexicans, as Mexican Americans.
You know, there is a certain aspect of that where, yes, we are very open and that is our culture. And yes, definitely we've been taking advantage of that because of that is our culture. But then you have people who know no limits and have no ethics, and then they will grab the culture and they will be, I have had people tell me that I don't understand the concept of death or the Santa or stuff like that. I am not a Santa practitioner, but I've been teaching about the Day of the Dead for 38 years of my life, or 37. And and they come and tell me, you know, oh, well, she's this and that and the other. And I'm like, no, she's not. Oh, maybe you don't understand the concept of death. So there is a fine line between opening and teaching and sharing, and but then they take it and they turn around and they try to teach us about our own culture,
Yeah.
and
And
that
not
is
only
really
that, Laura,
aggravating.
not only that I have seen too, like that we have a lot of allies. And I have seen a lot of allies of us, but as an ally, you shouldn't speak on top of me.
Exactly.
You should give me your microphone because you have a bigger microphone than we do as a minority.
Yeah.
But not speak over us and make it about you and your altruism. So yeah, there is a lot of like things like, oh, I'm helping. Yeah, that's what you think you're doing, but you're not helping us. You're like speaking over us. You're silencing us by taking the microphone on things that we should have a word about, you know? And there is a lot of people who doesn't understand that either. So
Oh, yeah.
it's kind of hard.
And they're gonna say like, oh my God, these gals like jump right into the politics of everything. Witchcraft is
It's
politics.
very, it is.
It is very
At least.
I was gonna ask you before we go into anything else, because I want to talk about the politics and the survival of witchcraft. But if you were to be asked, because I've been asked this question a million times, like, when do you start learning witchcraft? And I'm like, I don't know. It's been part of my life, my whole life. That's the same case with
Yes.
you. I mean, you were on your grandma's knee and she
Yes.
was telling you how to do conjuros and ensalmos and all that kind of stuff. Tell us a little bit
Yes.
about it.
And that's the other thing, like people doesn't understand, like now with all the social media and like the Patreon, like they think like we had a curriculum, like the Secretaría de Educación Pública, like the SEP, or where you learn this first and then no, we've just like we're learning over the march. You know, íbamos aprendiendo la marcha. It was not something that, oh, today we're learning math and tomorrow we're learning alchemy and today we're learning like Harry Potter, like, you know, herbalism. No, you had a problem or you have a situation. Oh, that's what we're going to do. And pretty much that's how you start, or all of us start learning like correspondences and magical things where, okay, this helps for this, and this helps for that. And you start like connecting links, just like kids start like speaking their mother tongue or, you know, creating their own language and words in based on what they see and what they heard. So yeah, it's just like you say, it's a shock of cultures where you want to have everything set up in a certain way, in a timeline, and that wasn't the case for us, you know? And
So,
people want to learn what you learn your whole life in a class of 6 weeks. And that's pretty much impossible because I'm almost a 40-year-old woman. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to learn everything that I know in 3 weeks or in a class of You know, 1 hour.
It takes a lifetime. And it can be bottled. And I always make this joke, and I always tell people, Laura, that as Mexicans, we can laugh at the joke, but if you're not Mexican, you don't do this joke. Mexico is the most pagan country in the world. Don't tell the Mexicans, they say they're Catholic. People don't understand that the Catholicism that came to Mexico was very, very infused with paganism and even with African traditions. And it became, after the after colonization, religion and these religious practices, they became a way of rebellion and survival, and it's always been politics, you know, it because what is personal is political. So tell us a little bit about that resistance to magic.
Well, I think just like you said, people doesn't realize that first of all, we were as the first Mexicans, you know, very like they were religious but in their own way. Like today we will consider paganism. And a lot of people who came to Mexico were really pagans or were really Jewish. They were not actually
Catholic.
Catholic, but the only ones that they were like that were the priests, and a lot of those priests have converso Jewish families, and they were like the second or the third generation. So people doesn't understand that. Even when I say the word amarre, there is a lot of books written by white practitioners or Mexican American practitioners that they said, oh, the word amarre literally means a love spell. That's not what it means, the word amarre. Amarre means two like cords or laces that are making a knot of two or more elements together. And you know, that's what it was done, you know, in the Mexica weddings. You know, the Mexica priest used to tie the huipil and the tilma, that there's like the
Dress.
wedding gowns or the dresses that they use. And you know, when the Spanish came and when they saw like they couldn't eradicate that practice, they adopt that for our Mexican weddings, but they already were doing that, you know, in the Celtic practices of their ancestors who were already colonized, you know. So that's why they adopted it so easy, because it was already familiar for them. So, but a lot of people doesn't understand that, because we're losing a lot on translations and like bad translations and how, you know, language evolves, you know. So for me it was like a challenge to put in the book too, or talk about like the political side of witchcraft, where woman has to do what they have to do to defend themselves from the patriarchy and the machista system and the politics that allow still a lot of rural communities that these outrageous crimes, rapes, and so many other things continue to happen without punishment.
Exactly.
So if somebody says, well, but what that has to do with this or that, I don't know, in a lot of other countries, especially in Europe, because I haven't even been there. But in Mexico, even in the time of the Aztecs, of the Machica, the brujo used to be the one, the sorcerer, who advised the war movements, you know. When, you know, like they used to, there's the warriors, the ocelots, warriors used to have to one place or another, because they had their own like astrology systems. So yeah, witchcraft, at least Brujería la Mexicana, is very political and is very raw.
Yeah.
So if we want to make it like all pink and rainbows and unicorns, that's not what it is. If you want to do, and that's something that I tell them constantly, like, but I don't like it. Okay, you can do it like that if you want. But when we put it on a book or we do it in a class, we're deluding other people. You're abuelos, my abuelos.
Yeah.
You know, you can create your own magic like you want, you know? But that's not the traditional thing. That's something that I love about my comadre. I don't know if you follow her. Her name is Paola Clock. She created that that school and that, you know, type of magic that is called Magia de las Brujas Morenas, where she is more like specialist in more like the indigenous part. But when she gave her classes to public, she said, like, yeah, this happened and that's what I do. But the traditional part is when everything mixed together, not only the Spanish, the Jewish, and or the African and the Irish and all the influences that put a little bit of something on our Mexican magic, you know, as a whole. So that's what I try to tell them. Like, oh, if you don't want to, you know, like work with saints, you don't have to. You don't want to work in this or that, you don't have to either. But the traditional is this, you know?
Yeah.
Other than that, it's like, that's why I was like very, very, too, very, 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 very specific that when I wrote Brujería de Rancho, where I am from, what areas I'm trying to portray, how people does those things there. So we don't erase other people in Mexico, because that's another thing that I saw a lot, Laura, where that's not traditional Mexican brujería. This is a tradition, and even in books of Mexican American people. And I was like, you're pretty much saying like the only original and authentic pozole is the pozole rojo. But if you go to other states in Mexico, you may have a pozole verde as traditional, or a pozole blanco, or a pozole negro. That doesn't mean they're not traditional.
Exactly.
You
And
know, and
you know, I made a video for I almost never on TikTok, but I made a video for TikTok a long time ago where I tell people Mexicans are not the same. We are not cookie cutter all the same. A person from the north and a person from the city and a person from the south or from the coast, we practice differently, we speak differently, we believe things differently. And we work, which is the brujería de rancho or the folk magic. Like I know this is folk magic, right? You know this is brujería de rancho. They're very similar, but they're not the same. But one of the things that you were talking about is you work with what you have. So somebody from La Costa, from the coast of Acapulco, whatever, they're gonna work on the ocean, they're gonna work with fish, they're gonna work with seashells or whatever. I'm from Mexico City. We work with what we have, which is the city, you know, the toxicity of the city, the dirt, the panteones, the, you know, all that kind of stuff. Before I continue, Laura, I want to tell people, because they're going to be like, what are they talking about? Of course, this wonderful book that Laura Davila wrote called Mexican Sorcery, Practical Guide to Brujería de Rancho. Brujería de Rancho is ranch witchcraft. And I want us to delve deep into the book. And one of the first things that you say here on the book that you tell people is how the relationships with the earth, with the energies, with the santos, with the saints, with the Catholic imagery, you know. I learned so much about Catholicism reading this book because I didn't know anything. And now that I read the book, I'm like, oh, so that's what this saint is for. But you were talking about building the relationship. Tell us a little bit about that and why is that important in Brujeria?
Oh, well, I think I will say like any type of brujería, not only like Brujería de Rancho, but specifically Mexican brujería in general. We're very animistic people because our first ancestors, the Aztecs, the Olmecs, the Mayans, they thought like everything was a living being, like our trees or rivers or caves or the air, the stations, you know. Everything had, you know, like that part of it was alive, and they started like developing this relation with these entities, you know? So I think that's something that we inherited, like mostly from our first ancestors. And then, when, the Abrahamic religion conquered a lot of these territories, there is a lot of, mostly like in the First Testament, like it is very animistic in some ways too. So it is important not only to develop like a relationship with somebody who was alive, because after all, saints had a human side because they were a person before they were a saint. They have their dark traits, their dark aspects of their personality, just like we do. But two, like these energies and these like beings that we work with is the same thing, Somebody put one time like a joke, like a meme, where he put like all the pantry with googly eyes in the garlic, in the rosemary. And it's like that way I can see them, not as only as a tool, but as a friend, as a living being. And that's a really good trick if you think about it. Like, just put like googly eyes on your like frascoes of herbs and stuff, because it helps a lot, But yeah, you that's something that when you want to be like working with somebody closely, that's something like you do with you want to make a friend, like, hey, how are you? And start like making and building up a relationship, and before you start like asking for favors.
Yeah,
So
absolutely.
because
And it is such thing that it is so ingrained in our culture, and it comes so far back from our ancestors. And I find it cute, and yes, I'm using the word tongue in cheek, how a lot of practitioners, armchair practitioners, are now turning into, oh, animism, and everything is alive, and we've been like, we've been there. Like, where you been? Because if you think that the scissors are not alive. I love that you did a whole chapter on the scissors, because that is something that every bruja in Mexico knows how to use, uses. You have your scissors, and I love how you tell us everything that you put in the book. You were telling us, like, this is how my grandma did. This is how I do, and here in the United States, this is how I've seen people do it. So people can understand that you don't have to have the hi, what is the material? I forgot. Copper? No, it's not copper. The metal.
Steel, acero inoxidable, like steel and steel. I
The
don't
stainless
remember what
steel.
is the name.
Stainless steel. And it's such simple tool, and that is something that I love about our magic, is the simplicity of it. You work with what you have. Tell us a little bit about the scissors.
Well, fíjate que the thing with the scissors, we always use it. I have always used them. My grandma this and I was told it, that she gave me like a scissors,
Pendant.
like a pendant. And when J. Allen Cross went with his book like American Brujería, he always had the scissors, and everybody started using the scissors. But I felt like here it was more like, okay, it's to protect ourselves from witches and witchcraft, and it was just like that. But I wanted to tell people why, how we came up with this practice. It was like way, like hundreds of years and centuries behind, where, Jacinto de la Serna, it was a priest who was sent here to eradicate our practices. But I don't know what he did, because instead of like eradicating them, well, he did, but like he was documenting everything, what we use for plants, what we use as our rituals, what, every specific god and every specific codice, he documented it. And it was so hard because, in that time, like, imagine being translating an like a native language that you never heard before to Spanish. That it wasn't the Spanish that we have right now, that is very mixed with Arabic and now what. It was their own Spanish. So he documented in one of those big books that he wrote that population specifically put a jicara, that is a gourd, I think that's with water, with a obsidian blade. So every time a Memesco Pinky, because it's a specific witch, saw her own reflection on the water, she just get terrorized and start running. But when she wasn't terrorized, because there were some of them that were more like brave, I don't know. The thing that they used to do, not only with Memesco Pinkies, with warriors too, was to cut the head from the this part of the head that is the tonally, and in that way they lost their strength, which is another thing that we're very, very alike, our Greek and our Roman ancestors. Ahí está el cuento de Dalila and Dalila y Sansón, So he said that, when they used to do that to warrior and witches, they ended up dying because it was such a trauma for them. Even for Mexicans and Mexican Americans, we prize our hair. It's like our strength. So like this, and these practices start like the developing to, instead of being a jicara with water, was a mirror, and instead of this blade of obsidian, it started to be scissors in a shape of the cross. Because we were like adopting these two practices, So that's how we did end up with the scissors as a way to protect ourselves from witches. And I explained very clearly, because I know it doesn't make sense, probably, like how we're going to have this in our house if we're witches ourselves, And I'm like, yeah, but you have to protect yourself from other witches. Just like warriors were like trying, it was a symbol like, oh, I have this and I'm going to cut your tonally, And some of them even use that part of the tonally themselves to increment their own, It's the same thing if you see it about it. And a lot of people love that part because they were like, yeah, we knew that exists. We always did because our grandmas did. But if you ask, even our grandmas or great grandmas, why? They wouldn't know. And you tell us here in one page in a book from 1653, So that's another thing that I think we, at least I owe to the community, because there is a lot of people just making stuff up to just to sell. For me, it was like, you know what? And that's why it's really hard to take the praise for Mexican sorcery, because a lot of people have told me like, oh my God, praising for Mexican sorceries, but that I didn't invent these. Where I put every time like, oh, the burn of la quema de Judas, eso se hacía desde, that's not mine. I just like dust it off and I put it here, but I didn't invent that. Like I didn't make that up. Or like when I talk like the ribbon in San Antonio, there is pictures of 1863 in the churches with those ribbons full of coins. I wasn't even born. Same thing with El Charro Negro. That's, you can, it's part of the Vox Populi. You can see pictures, like movies like Macario, and you see the Charro Negro with his boots and his spurs of silver, and all the temptation that, I didn't make that story up. That was told to us, and that was told to our grandparents. The same thing with El Diablito in San Miguelito. Yeah, that happened. That my grandparents used to tell me that story. But if you can see that story or that same phenomenon of type or type of pact used to happen in pueblitos like Puebla, like Taxco, like even Mexico City. That's not something that I created or I invented. It's something that we grew up with and our grandparents grew up with and their grandparents did. The only story that I told them like is original of mine is when I got lost in the cemetery and Don Beto is real. But the other ones belongs to everybody, belongs to my grandmother and belongs to yours and belongs to everyone. And that's why it's so hard to like every time somebody's like, oh my God, congratulations, this is such an amazing book and that's a success, I even feel bad because I'm like
Well,
there is even like these same conjuros and prayers, you can find them of course in like the Inquisition records. So
yeah.
it's just like I
I
feel
think
bad, you know, but
I
at the
would
same time,
say
I feel.
take the praise when it comes because you did an excellent job of compiling this information. And like you say, you know, a lot of us know this, but a lot of Mexican Americans don't. And that's why I feel so proud of you writing this book. Like I felt so proud of Jaime Jiménez when he wrote The Day of the Dead,
El Día de los Muertos.
the little book of the Day of the Dead, because these are coming from the source. They're coming from Mexican people. Was trained, who grew up in Mexico, who knew what Mexico was. I, for example, I keep saying, like, I've been removed 25 years, so I the Mexico that I left is not the same anymore. But there are so many things, like I had no idea of the huge influx of Jewish people in the north of Mexico. I had no idea of that. I have no idea. I love the one with the borreguito, the lana, you know. For the Christmas tradition, we don't have that in Mexico City, so I really
Exactly.
like that one because I'm like, oh, I can either buy one or make one, or and then you charge it. And for people who are not so keen to do it with the Catholic religion, with the Catholic prayers, with all this like Christian the things. You can adapt these things to your own practice.
Yeah,
I
absolutely.
was reading, and I hope this is not offensive to anybody, please. I grew up in a house that was more New Ager than it was Catholic. And my mom and my dad taught us traditional Mexican folk magic and also pagan New Agey things. Like, I had no idea. I grew up with Catholic, like the traditional, you go to church when somebody die, you go to church when somebody's gonna get married,
Baptism, comuniones,
and that's it.
the Mexican way.
The Mexican way. And I am a troublemaker, so I was always asking questions, and that's why I ultimately kicked myself out of the Catholic Church because it didn't give me the answers. But I was blown away, Laura, reading about San Martin Caballero, because like you say, these saints were people. And again, full disclosure, I don't mean to offend anybody. Please take it with a grain of salt. This was a Roman soldier.
Soldier.
To me, he sounds exactly like Mercury, like I'm Mercurio, like Mercury, who is a Roman god. And a lot of the things that you talk about in your book about doing stuff for the money and putting the horseshoe and all of that, those are things that, unbeknownst to me, that they're done with San Martin Caballero.
Yeah.
I have done very similar with Mercury. So don't be afraid to explore one way or the other.
Yeah.
Like, explore from the Catholic to non-Catholic, or from your very pagan or otherwise non-denominational practice, and to delve into Catholicism if it's part of the family tradition, but like you say, always respectfully and building that relationship.
Yes, absolutely. You know, another people was saying the same because actually, like San Martin Caballero was baptized after Mars. The two. And he's that person told me he San Martin Caballero reminds me a lot of Samael. If you go to the angels, who is like the dark aspect too. And I'm like, well, actually, in the indigenous communities, like the Mazatecs, they say like San Martin Caballero is el Charro Negro. And in a lot of churches, you see the day of San Martin Caballero, he's like in a traje charro with black, and it's a lot of people who is like very Catholic, like Roman Catholic persignadas, that they get mad because they know what that means.
Hey, so
So
we're not gonna tell them how the indigenous people, and this is something that I teach when I'm, when I teach about folk magic. The indigenous people will be carrying the big statues, and suddenly they will say the statue cannot move anymore. And because the colonizers, the Spaniards, will not lift, an eyelash, they will tell the indigenous people, you got to move the statue. We have to go to the next town or whatever. And these people will be like, no, the statue, the saint, El Santo ya no se quiere mover. The saint don't want to move. And they will put the saints and they will erect these churches on their traditional places of worship. And
yeah,
people
because
don't
they were
understand.
syncretizing that way. It's beautiful. If you want to, like, like get more deep, just like you said, like you can, just like El Cristo de Negro de Chiapas, también, like, is syncretized with another, like, indigenous god that they were like worshiping over there. It's a lot of story, but and it goes way back to a Roman and to our, other ancestors. And that's what I tell them, like, oh, you think like we're only like as a culture, as Mexicans, traumatized because the colonizers were really terrible. No, but that come like from when there were other people were terrible over there to their ancestors. So we have a lot of baggage that we need to heal that doesn't start here, it start even over there. So, but there is a lot of people who is not aware of it either. You are, I am, but
A lot
not
of people are not.
everybody is.
A former apprentice of mine used to say, because I lean more towards paganism because historically, emotionally, that's what calls to me, right? And for the love of the goddess, if you do Catholic, why do I care? You do you. And I appreciate not just you, Laura, but people in general. If you want to be, disclaimer, if you want to be a Catholic witch, if you want to be a Christian witch, if you want to be a Jewish witch, if you want to be a pagan witch, if you want to be a non-denominational witch, be what you want to be. And don't tell other people how to do it. Because we
And
don't
they
do
have
that.
to take into consideration, like, like Saint Bridget,
Exactly.
like that we have a lot of that. And if you want to deny it, I mean, you're like confusing yourself, or you're fooling yourself, and you're trying to fool other people. But if you want to work with the whole energy and embrace and build up that relationship with Saint Bridget, you have to do all her aspects, or maybe if you don't want to worshiping her in that way, but at least you have to understand that side of her, because now it's a side of her. And that is a lot of, like, people take offense on that, but we're not saying like, oh, you have to do it like I do it, but at least give the spirits, give the saints, give the deities the honor to understand their story along the
To get
time,
to know them.
like in a timeline.
I was telling you that one of my apprentices used to say, like, well, at least when the colonizers came and did that to us, we were not kin, right? They were one people, we were one people. But when they did it in Europe, they did it to their own kin. They did it to their own people. And
Yes.
there is a lot of healing that needs to happen. The time flies when you're having fun, Laura. We're already going into 45 minutes, but there are two things
You
that
and I could have been talking all day long, like, and like, yeah,
You know what?
absolutely.
If we go a little extra, I don't care. But I was surprised that you didn't talk a whole lot about the Virgin of Guadalupe here. It's just not part of
I
your
think,
practice,
let
or
me
it's
tell
not
you,
part of your.
I am, that is historical baggage about it. And another one that is very practical. The practical, and I don't know if you agree with me, and I think you will do, like J. Allen Cross did a wonderful job when he talked about Guadalupe. He did it in a way where I don't think it was way more to say, because I think it was one chapter and a half in that book. And when we used to talk about this dream, he was like, I want you to take the microphone and you take this to another level, because there is still people who said like they haven't get like they haven't got the American Brujeria, and they said like, yeah, but you said at the end, pray one novena or offer one novena or pray three creeds, and I don't know how to do that, and I don't want to go to the church to do that. And I'm like, oh, just get J. Allen Cross book, because you know. And I think he did amazing. And you know, when I was taking into consideration all the historical baggage that I had, like as a person who has a lot of like Jewish ancestry, even if I'm not Jewish, like a like a practitioner of Judaism, they said like most of these people were very close with some Roman saints like San Martin Caballero, like San Expedite, that there is very mercurial ones,
Oh, yeah.
but not with La Virgen de Guadalupe. Like you could distinguish when somebody was a converso for second or third generation. That's what it says, this like academic, when they were like having like these icons like San Expedite or San Martin Caballero in their home places, but not La Virgen de Guadalupe, which is very common on the north.
Yeah,
You
that is
know?
incredible because I'm from the center, obviously. El Tepeyac is right next door.
Back, exactly.
So we at the center of Mexico, that's what I mean to say. We don't do one prayer without her. And even I, as a pagan who is not abiding by
Yeah.
Catholic saints or traditions, I do have my Virgen de Guadalupe because I see her just like Saint Bridget. As a another emanation of the goddess, right? And earth
Yes.
and the divine and all of that.
Absolutely.
Before we go, God, I can't believe we're already in. And I was planning with Laura, like, yeah, we're gonna take a musical break. No, we're not. We're just gonna keep going.
Was really good.
So there's a lot of magic here, and I love the disclaimer that you do when you talk about love magic, and I'm not gonna go into that. Let people get the book and learn of that. But there's a lot of magic of dissidence and protection for women, like the one that makes a man sick when they drink and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Why is that so important to have
En Brujería de Rancho.
women? Yeah, those tools.
I think as a Mexicans in general, not only in Mexico, in the United States, and as a Latinas, we love our men, we love our men children, but a lot of us have a lot of like baggage in our culture where we don't even enjoy them. We endure them. We suffer them because, you know, machismo runs in our culture.
Yep.
So that's why I talk about like the side of the, you know, the practice where, okay, let's put ourselves where we need to protect ourselves or of alcoholic husbands or alcoholic children or the aggressive ones, because I put an endulzamiento with Bálsamo Tranquilo and a Cordero Manso. I think like even though like we're trying really hard to raise our children better, this has to be like a collective thing, you know? And I don't think we have done enough work of it. We're getting like better, but we still have like a lot of like, you know, like bat on these. And not only on that regard, but you know, there is another ways of violence, because that was a girl who was arguing with that, but that doesn't happen here in the United States, like the violent economic violence. And I'm like, well, maybe will not happen like it happened to your grandma, where like Bartola, I te dejo estos 2 pesos.
And
But
make it
now Maybe you're having somebody who you want to divorce, but that person already told you, okay, if you leave me, I'm going to work under the table, or I'm going to quit my job so I control my money and you don't divorce me and you don't have child support, or you get way less because it's my way to control you.
And
So it's still happening, but in another ways.
this person that told you that it doesn't happen in the United States are not aware that women made 75 cents to a men's dollar. It's the whole
Absolutely.
system. It's a whole system. It's not just one person.
Absolutely.
I love you, Laura. Since I met you, I just like you so much.
Me
I think
too.
you're wonderful. People, please look it up, buy it, learn, build those relationships, practice, and do what you need to do to survive and to thrive. Mexican Sorcery, A Practical Guide to Brujería de Rancho by Laura Dávila. Daphne La Hechicera, that's how you find her on Insta, on Instagram as Daphne La Hechicera. And Laura, I have nothing else but to give you the microphones so you can say goodnight to your audience.
Thank you so much, guys, for having me here. The only thing that I want to just leave here is I know, especially for Mexican Americans, that you feel disconnected from the culture or you feel like you were uprooted. Just want to say that immigration is an act of love, it's an act of bravery. A lot of your grandmas, your great grandmas immigrated here, and even without knowing you, without you existing, they already love you. And that's why you're here. They risked their own lives in a lot of cases for you to have a better future. Never feel ashamed where you come from or like you could have something better. They did this for out of love. That's it.
Thank you so much, Laura, for being here. And thank you to everybody who is part of this show. My job is just to remind you that you can follow us, CSMP, the Circle Century Network podcast. We have over 900 hours of podcasts that you can download, listen, and archive for your personal use. We have shows by Selena Fox. We have shows by, excuse me, Charlotte Bair, Deborah Rose. Paganos del Mundo on Spanish and Portuguese with Christian Ortiz, Carolina Amor, Harwa Tuileva, Monica Govin, and Patricia Finkler, and yours truly, Laura Gonzalez. And obviously, we have Lunatic Mondays with Laura Gonzalez. I know I stopped doing Lunes Lunáticos. I don't do Lunes Lunáticos on Spanish anymore, but I'm still doing Paganos del Mundo on Spanish for those who wish to hear me on Spanish. And until we meet again, never forget that you are love and that Lunatic Mondays is a production of Laura Gonzalez for CSMP, the Circle Sanctuary Network podcast. Until we meet again, mwah, you are loved. Bye-bye.